From the Three Story Method Podcast Network.
This is the Serial Fiction Show.
I'm Christine Daigle.
And I'm JP Reinbush.
Welcome to the Writer's Serial Fiction Show. This is a companion podcast to the Reader's Serial Fiction Show. If you haven't listened to today's story, we'd encourage you to pause and go listen to Mae McCallum's episode on our companion podcast first. We can only play half the episode, so if you like what you hear, check out the full episode free on Vella. The links to the podcast and the Vella episodes are in the show notes. So, JP.
So, Christine.
Your awesome Serial Nerds has been up for a while, and you guys are rocking it. How
Nerds.
Are things going?
Nerds.
Nerds.
As we are recording, it has been a week out, and it has been going really good. I feel like I told you, Christine, this. I feel like I showed up to the party after everyone has been, like, drinking this whole time, and now I'm just getting shots to catch up, which has been wonderful. No, the response to Nerds has been fantastic. I really like it. I'm really happy about it.
That's awesome. Yeah, so you've been doing shots this whole time, and now you're catching up. And you are catching up, and hopefully not too drunk.
Yeah. I mean, it's been fun. And I think because Nerds is spooky and it's spooky season, that just adds to the fun. So that's all I have. How have you been? How has the life of LP Styles been?
Well, it's been going fun. I was talking to some of the other horror authors, including Mae, who we're talking to today. And we're all realizing we're going to have a Halloween drop. So I think we're going to coordinate something for that, which is awesome.
Indeed.
Yeah.
You ready to talk to our author, our wonderful Mae?
Yes, but before we talk to our author, we should talk about our sponsor, Pro Writing Aid.
Yes, we should. Pro Writing Aid. I love Pro Writing Aid, and that is the truth that I'm going to admit right now. I absolutely love Pro Writing Aid. It helps me so much with finding just the various little things that I don't think that I have problems with. I really like there is a feature in it that you can change the style of the writing that you're looking at. So for me, like fantasy or something along those lines.
Yes.
And even compare, which the compare part is like the fun part, because for me, I'm like, am I using too many adverbs? And then I'm like, oh, well, this person didn't. And so I kind of have a rough idea as to like what other things I can compare to.
Yeah. And that's love. I love it. I love the live function where it shows you in real time where your errors are and it just underlines them. So I can go in and just go through it as it's looking at it, fix everything. It has all the different colors for the different kinds of mistakes. It's just like having a pro editor in your back pocket, but it costs much less. So if you haven't tried Pro Writing Aid yet, you definitely should. We have a discount code for the podcast, Serial20, SERIAL20. Check it out.
Yep. I love it.
Cool.
It's so good. You ready to party?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have this hook. The cult-like question, are you a child of Savinia? Followed by a website that plays a live feed of an asylum. What goes into crafting hooks like these? Do you think about them, or what kind of goes through your head as the first lines of a serial?
My day job involves marketing, so I definitely thought about it a lot. I think like the hook is like incredibly important, and then especially, you know, now that we're in the buyer mindset of every episode, the reader has to think about whether to complete a purchase or not. You need to think about, is the hook good enough to get them to complete the purchase?
Yeah, I think that it's funny how many authors also do marketing and how well those two go hand in hand. So when I was reading the first few episodes of your serial, I was just taking a look at the theme or the armature, and there seems to be something here about the bystander effect or glorifying death by means of viral videos, maybe, you know, being wary of social media I thought it was really interesting how you weren't sure what's real or what's fake. And a lot of that is tied to the social media as well. As long as maybe, you know, be wary of your own obsessions, because no one is going to stop you if you go down that path. Do you think about theme or armature when you're writing?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things in the world currently with online communities and people that believe certain things that terrify me. So yeah, another element of something that absolutely horrifies me, of how a group of people online can become obsessed with something and completely lose touch with reality. And then exploring, I guess, in the story, whether that is real or not.
I really love that you you take concepts that worry you and you almost like cathartically write them out. I think that's a very good approach.
Yeah.
When it comes to character, when we were reading the first few episodes, there was a couple that we kind of picked out. So at first, the protagonist being Owen, within that first couple of scenes, he had these motivations and wants to basically become this child of Savinia to solve the puzzle. And then this like deeper need to almost like validate his beliefs, or at least that's how like we were interpreting it as we were reading it. And then later we learn about Celeste, who, you know, her motivation is, you know, more or less to find Owen. But I almost grabbed this need that she needs, to either believe in her psychic abilities, that they will come into play, or maybe she needs to face reality that those aren't real. I didn't know yet because we weren't really at that part yet. But I'm just curious, when it comes to crafting characters, what goes into how you craft characters, and do motivations and needs kind of come into play?
Yeah, definitely, I would say, and that's why, yeah, her and Owen were together. How Owen sees reality and the reality that he's created for himself online, which is different from the reality that he lives with Celeste, and then her reality with, you know, being a psychic and that being part of her identity, and whether that's actually real or not, and whether that identity will serve her in the asylum or not. That was all kind of a plan. And it's weird in the writing process too, because, like, you know, I was like, okay, so I want a character who thinks they're a psychic, you know, because of the trope of, you know, you go into asylum and you got to bring your psychic, you got to bring your whoever, and this guy, your tech guy, you know, whatever. So I was like, okay, so I need my psychic character. So I already had that. And then once I started to do her backstory and I was like, okay, she'll be Owen's girlfriend, it kind of all falls together on its own. So there's a lot of stuff that, like, subconsciously as a writer kind of just goes into place, and then you go, oh yes, I did that on purpose.
Yeah. And I loved how you know, you, like you said, you bring your psychic, but this psychic, you're not sure if she works. So I thought that was a great way to seed doubt early on about whether she's actually going to be any help or not. So looking at your scene construction, you've got this huge conflict around the live streaming of the events at the asylum, and this following forms, and people are making choices about whether or not they're going to go, and people are choosing to go and try their luck in the asylum. So, and then you kind of leave this cliffhanger at the end where we meet Owen and he decides he's going to go. So how do you think about scene constructions when you're constructing these short scenes for serial fiction?
So the way I wanted to construct it, like, initially was, so the first three episodes, because they're free, they're my hook. If I get you to read the first episode, I can probably get you to read the second, and I can probably get you to read the third because they're free. But once, so those, that's my first three episodes are basically like my setup, like how I'm going to get you to read the fourth. And then from there, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, those have to be their own little events, their own little hooks, whether by like information, event, etc. So yeah, so the first three episodes are kind of like their own world building setup.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that with the first three episodes that it almost starts off in this like funneling aspect where we start off with this broad narrator giving us this rundown of the established oddity, the asylum. And then we move shifting focus to Owen, who is basically like this catalyst for the first cast of characters to come together, which happens in episode three. And it sounds like this was a very intentional move with your first three to kind of bring people in. How did planning look when you talk about these three scenes and the other ones? So you talk about how the other ones are their own closed units. I'm just curious, like, what's your outline process? What's that kind of look like?
Yeah. So my outline process, like, the first three episodes are their own thing. And then, I had 9 characters to work with, which is a lot of people to juggle. So I had to try to find a balance where we focus on people, make sure someone gets to talk, that you know who they are before they die, and then giving information, and then deaths and monsters, etc. So each episode was kind of like I outlined them by deaths. And then make sure they were paced, you know, so you didn't want to like be able to predict them, that like every other episode there's a death, but you know, so that they go enough, but then also we're revealing information and we're learning about who these characters are before they meet their end.
That's excellent. So I read online that you have an MFA and you've thought about horror theory a lot in a way that's kind of like literary theory. So you talked on your blog about the horror pyramid, about moving from suspense to disgust. Can you talk a little bit about what these are and how they help make compelling horror stories?
Yes. There's, I'm going to sound like, I don't want to sound like a horror snob, but there are certain, there are certain types of horror that I personally don't care for. And it's when we move, and some people like this, when we move right into disgust. So like horror that's just straight up gore, straight up, you know, like yucky characters you don't care about. The setting's not terribly scary, but we're just like grossing you out. And to me, So, and I think, but there's some elements of disgust that are necessary in horror and that work. But my theory was that you have to move through the pyramid to get there to make those elements work. And I wrote that blog post a long time ago, so I'm not exactly remember totally the pyramid. But basically you have to start with like suspense, a good solid foundation of suspense, move into fear, then you can do some violence, then you can get into gore, and then you can get into disgust. And without these, you know, like base building blocks of a pyramid, if you don't set the stage with suspense, fear, etc., if you just hop on right to disgust, it's not really scary. I'm just like nauseous. I'm not afraid.
Yeah, I thought that was really smart. I've never seen it broken down like that before, but that's the type of horror that I like as well. And we talked about those slow burn horrors, things like Hereditary and The Shining. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Let the Right One In. I thought that was a brilliant movie and slow burn. And you can really see those elements. So, and I loved how you had it proportionally where, you know, you need more suspense and a little less fear. And then, you know, the tiniest cherry on top is the disgust. And I just thought that that was excellent. So thank you for explaining that to our listeners.
So I saw that you had 5 serials on Vela right now. What have you learned about the platform with writing in serials in general that you'd like to share with other writers?
So I definitely didn't truly understand it until it launched and I started reading other people's serials. Thought I understood it. I should have read some other ones on Wattpad or Radish, but I didn't. So once Vela launched and I was reading other people's serials, there's a big difference between okay, episode 3 was great and interesting. I'd be willing to read episode 4, or I'd like to read episode 4. There's a difference between that and I want to pay to read episode 4. And I just didn't understand that until I was sitting there reading and spending tokens. And there was a lot of stories where I was enjoying it, and if it was a novel, of course I'd continue it because I already bought the book. It's in my hands. I'll just turn the page. But there was definitely some where I stopped because, well, that was okay, but not okay enough that I want to spend money on it. And then there was even some where there was one story where I read 10 episodes, you know, so I was into it, but nothing had progressed in the plot, and so I stopped. And experiencing from that as the reader, where I had to make these buyer decisions before every episode, that's when I realized my first serial was not gonna work. And I realized, yeah, I wouldn't pay for those episodes because, yeah, the payoff would be good eventually. But I was thinking, you know, big picture instead of every single episode, you have to make them want to buy it.
I think that's really smart. And I think it's hard sometimes to throw away those words when you have put in all that time. And I think that's really brave to do that when you see that something's not working, to just be like, okay, that's it. I'm just going to scrap those words. They're just words and I'm going to start again. So that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So serial writing takes a lot of consistency. What does your daily or weekly writing routine look like?
So I have a full-time job and a toddler. So I try to write every weekday from baby goes to bed at 6 until I get exhausted and then go to bed myself. So usually those times when baby's asleep is when I try to write.
So what is your current release schedule with your 4 serials that you're working on? And then is that schedule working for you, or do you plan to change it up in any way?
So I was going to release episodes about once a week, but then I started to feel a little feisty about the platform and how it was working. So I decided to drop everything like a hotcake as fast as I could so that I can release my 2 that I think are working as ebooks by October, to get, you know, the Halloween rush.
And will those be the same name when you release them as ebooks?
Yes.
And which 2 are they?
It's We Came Here to Die and The Red Ship Tavern is Cursed.
Okay, thank you.
So do you have any future writing plans that you're dreaming up or working on?
I don't know. I'm not ready to give up on Vella just yet. I do have a story that I think would work for Vella about scarecrows, but I'm not sure if I'll put it up there yet. I'd like to. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to see how, you know, because like if no one's there on October and that's my season, maybe it wouldn't be worth my time, but I don't know. Maybe it'll be okay. Well, I guess we'll see how I feel.
So learning that you work in marketing, your social media is very on brand with the horror aesthetic, in which all of your photos, your face, you're usually wearing some type of unique, if not downright spooky mask. What makes for the perfect mask to add to the Mae McCallum collection?
Ooh, it has to be like a little mysterious. Like, it can't be, you know, a character we all know. It has to be, like, I like a mask that has a very, like, specific but almost mysterious expression. Like, I have some masks that are smiling, but you don't know about what. I have some masks that are sad, but you don't know why. Like, I like an expressive mask that almost has a Mona Lisa quality.
Yeah. I loved the rabbit. It reminded me of David Lynch's rabbits. So I was like, that is so spooky. That was fantastic.
There is something about rabbits that are terrifying.
There really is. I mean, you can make them cute, but if you just twist them just a little bit, they are horrifying rodents. They really look terrifying. So as one last question, what would you say to someone who is looking to start a cereal?
I would say have a plan and have, like, it's good to write. Everyone should write. Everyone should try to write. I think writing is for everyone. But yeah, think about your hooks for each episode. Think about what's going to motivate people to move on to the next one. So have a plan.
That's excellent advice.
Well, thank you for sitting down and talking with us.
Thank you.
Our thanks today to Mae McCallum for letting us break down their episode. We want to thank you for listening to the Reader Serial Fiction Show. If you know someone who might enjoy the show, send them your favorite episode link. And if you want to leave an Apple Podcast review, we read all of them and use your suggestions. You can also leave a comment on the episode on our website, serialfictionshow.com. We'd love to hear from you. And finally, we have a Patreon where you can get Serial Fiction Show episodes early. We also have tons of other things in the works, so check us out at patreon.com/serialfictionshow. Thanks, and we'll see you next time with another Serial Fiction episode.
And that's a wrap. Find my button.
Find my button. Do, 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 do. Find my button.